anyways, we're gonna continue to look at it, cause of, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, so we see here, even in the New Testament, you know, the writer here is saying, hey, let's learn something from the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what we want to do. We're going to learn from Psalms this morning. And the Bible says that all the Word of God is for learning of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Psalms 119, last week we did the first one, the leaf. And this week we're going to look at Beth. Beth means house. And in the Hebrew, for Beth is a sign, you know, that like a leaf was an ox head. And Beth is a tent with a floor plan in it. And I got thinking, man, that's good. So a tent have a floor plan in it. But, I mean, y'all ever seen one of my favorite ministers, you know, he did the 12 tribes of Judah. And how they were laid out, you know, so many of the east, so many of the west, north and south. And it's laid out like a cross with the holy hose and all that right in the middle. But that's, you know, I got to think about that floor plan. I thought, man, that's a perfect floor plan right there. But how many of y'all ever been here to say you see a new house out here being built and think, man, that is a beautiful house? And years ago, you could just walk up in them, you know, and nobody could say nothing to you. You know, you'd probably get to go to jail now.
Yeah.
You know, you might go in this house and you say, man, the outside looks wonderful, but you just didn't like the floor plan, you know. You know what I'm saying? You've been there, done that. But, you know, the house of the Lord is a beautiful floor plan.
Yes.
But let's look here. You know, Ray talking about purity this morning, good news, purity. And right here, up in Beth House, we start out, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. You know, we're talking about cleansing, you know. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the Word. And me and Michael, we talked before about, you know, it's amazing how good you feel after you go to church on Sunday. Come out, man, Sunday afternoon, you just feel so good. Mm-hmm. The washing of the water of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man, you know, last week, I'm going to go back, and I told y'all, you know, Ray said it was written of David, and I told y'all guys it was, they're not sure of the writer, that it was either David, Ezra, or Daniel. But more I get to reading this, I really think it was David.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really think it was David. And we're going to see, we're going to read and see why. It says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, that's powerful right there.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Hide the Word of God in your heart that you don't sin against the Lord. You know, I know you hear some stuff now, and they say, well, you know, the Lord's covered all our sins, you know, from, you know, all man's sins, and he has.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the attitude to go out here and just, I'm going to do anything I want, my sins are forgiven, and just live like, you know, like you want to. How many know you don't wind up in trouble?
Amen. Big trouble.
You
devil's going to
big trouble.
You are going to fall in the ditch.
Yep.
But let's continue to read here. It said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips, I have declared the judgments of thy mouth. You know, the Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, you know, you know, we bring this over the New Testament here. Yet we'll be saved. You know, he's speaking here. It says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And I will delight myself in thy statutes and will not forget thy word. You know, right here at the last, we have this man saying, I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. He says, you know, but let's look what he did first. He hid the word in his heart.
Yeah.
You know, before you can jump to joy, you're going to have something in there to, you know, rejoice about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week, Pastor was ministering on Shout for Joy, you know, shout, you know, that Psalms 35. But that scripture, and he touched on it. But it, what was it? For thy righteous cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you ain't going to have to shout till you jump, you know, till you look into that righteous cause.
Yeah.
Know, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, this word here is just, as we study this Psalms, we're going to see the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go back and say it time and time and time again. Our righteousness is not of our own, it's of him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible does talk about a couple of types of righteousness. You know, it talks about the righteous deeds of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of y'all ever seen that Schindler's List, you know?
Yeah.
You know, where the guy, he saved just, you know, maybe, what was it, maybe 1,000 Jews during World War II. And the nation of Israel went on later in time and through their court system declared this man a righteous man. You know, they have, like, I guess, monuments of him in Israel, Schindler being a righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of y'all know when you stand before the Lord on second best,
he'll be right.
Even that great righteous act he did, if he stands before the Lord saying, let me in heaven because of what I did.
But at the same time, if he knows who his righteousness comes from, he'll have rewards.
Yeah.
If he's right, you know, his righteousness is of God.
Yeah, so if our righteousness is of him, and then we're doing righteousness, which we should do that.
We get rewards. The other burns up, but the other kind.
So, you know, we want a good understanding of righteousness.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Share a little something with you. I think I got a little time here. You know, Thurston talking about witnessing, you know, in Canada and getting in trouble by it. This week I shared with a young man, first thing Monday morning, you know, where we've got this new supervisor down from up north. And kind of nobody wanted the job because it was, I won't go into all the details, but anyway, they sent this young man down from up north. And I've had some CDs in the trucks, you know, gospel CDs. And I guess he'd been there over the weekend. He says, whose CDs are these? I said, well, they're mine, you know. And anyway, I said, well, what kind of music you listen to? And he said, you know, I'm kind of in that hard stuff, you know. And I said, well, I was kind of like you when I was a young man. I said, I listen to rock and roll. And I said, until I got born again, you know, I started listening to gospel music. And he says, he kind of tell me he brought up Catholic Church song. But anyway, but when I said born again, he said, I mean, it was just like out of the book, you know. He said, how can a man be born again, you know? And I said, well, you don't get a new body, you get a new heart. And when I said heart, man, the devil come out this day. I mean, he just called me some names right there in front of, you know, my other co-worker. And he walked out and he said, I'll go to hell before I go back into that. You know, and truly, I was not offended by it. You know, the Bible says righteous aren't offended. And I got to thinking about this young man. if, you know, I know some of the issues Catholic Church, you know, have had in the past, and I'm not saying that's what's happened, you know, but I know his heart was so just hardened to the gospel. And, you know, the Bible talks about somebody that's been offended, you know, it's their hearts, that's kind of hard to minister to them. So I'm going to covet y'all's prayers, and I'll pray for this man.
Mm-hmm.
But this man's, young man's name is Michael Dunkerley.
What's
so,
his last name, Dunlap?
Dunkerley.
Spelled
like D-U-N-K-E-R-L-Y, Dunkerley.
But
I ask y'all to help me pray for him, because I'm going to win this cat.
Spell it again. E-R-L-Y.
You know.
L-Y.
But he's a young man, a lot of potential, you know, late 20s, early 30s, but mm-hmm. he's just, you know, he's up to his father than that.
So you know why you weren't offended? Because you said that as soon as you said it, the devil came out of him. You knew it was the devil. You were aware that it was the devil.
Yeah. But and whether, but I know this man's been hurt in his past, mm-hmm. and the reason, but anyway, help me pray for the guy. I'm going to win him to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God, I'm going to win him to the Lord.
Amen.
Well, release some prayer.
Father, we thank you for your excellent word, your good word that encourages us.
Thank you.
We see the purity of your word, Lord, that cleanses us. And we thank you for it. And our hearts, Lord, let our hearts just ever be before you in your word worship.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 When the students are ready, the teacher with spirit is here. Praise God to teach us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to teach us this morning. Praise God. You know, we are so blessed. You know, Jesus was a gift to the whole wide world. He said, His father, he said that he sent his son into the world. But the Holy Spirit, when we think about Holy Spirit, he's a gift to the church. Mm-hmm. To powerful, make us a powerful church. Yeah. To help us to be that witness that we are supposed to be. We're still talking about the greater glory. But what we're going to talk about in the greater glory, we're going to talk about the purpose of the church. Can I get my class to say purpose of the church?
Purpose of the church.
You know, Miles Monroe would always say when a purpose is not known, abuse is always. Whether it's husband to the wife, If a husband don't know the purpose of a wife, abuse is there. If a wife don't know the purpose of a husband, abuse is there. And so we want to know the purpose of the church. Simply because we have seen so much of abuse in the church because they have not realized what was the purpose of the church. And when we say church, we're not talking about the gathering place. We're not talking about the house. Jesus said, my house should be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. He cleared things out. He told them the purpose of the gathering place. But when I'm talking about the church, we're just not talking about a building. We're talking about people.
Yeah.
Now, my backdrop scripture on the purpose of the church is Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 15th verse. Let's go there and read it. And we're going to discuss that because we don't want abuse when we think about the church. But the church is a real organism. It's alive. It's made out of a body. Yeah. And when you look at the name of the church, you think about the ecclesia. That's what it really means in the Greek. Ecclesia, they're to call out ones. Okay, let's go to Matthew, see what he had to say about the church. Matthew 16 and 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You know, the first question he asked them, let's go up here to the 13th verse. He asked them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's the question he asked them at first. And so they said, they had an answer for that. They had an answer for it. They said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. Or they say that, some said that they are John the Baptist. You know, one of the reasons they said they thought he was Elijah, because he multiplied food. And they say, hey, this got to be Elijah coming, you know, we see him again. Okay, they could answer that with many answers. But then he asked them another question. And this is the question he asked them. And he said unto them, he was talking to all of them again. He said, but whom say ye that I am? I'm asking you personally, who do you say I am? I want to know, do you know who I am? Well, none of them could come up with an answer on that. And you know what's so sad? You know, sometimes we can ask people, what's the purpose of the church? What was the purpose of the church? And they'll go, you know, they come up with all kinds of answers. And but he said that, who do you say I am? Only one could answer that. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. He didn't say you was Jesus. He said, you are the Christ, the anointed one. The Son, not the Son of Man, but the Son of the living God. He was the only one that could answer that question when it fell back on them as individuals. And what did Jesus say? And Jesus answered the 17th verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, just to him, blessed art thou. Man, you are blessed to be able to answer that question, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And I say unto thee that there are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my what? Church. It's his church. He's building. And only the Creator knows the purpose of a thing. Only the Creator knows the purpose of it. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was going to build a church that the gates of hell could not prevail against it. And you know how, you know, he called Peter a rock, a stone up here. But Peter took it up in the book, in his own book that he wrote, and said, all of you are living stones that been put in God's church. He made this church of living stone. Now, we can look back in the Old Testament, what I always do. I may not have the time to connect everything I want to connect. But when we look back in the Old Testament, you know, he told Moses, you know, to build. And everything they built was by hand. But this church Jesus built, it wasn't by hand. It wasn't brick and mortar. It wasn't tent. It wasn't. And simply, when you look back at the old that he did, He came in there because he told them to build. But he told them, you got to do it according to what? The pattern. You can't get off the pattern. Even though it's brick and mortar and tents and this, you can't. I'm going to give you the pattern. Jesus always has a plan and the pattern. The plan and the purpose of it. And we see, when we look back as he's building the church, he built it so the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He equipped the church with so much. He equipped the church with himself. He gave us all kinds of resources. The gates of hell can't prevail against the church. Has no reason to. We are well equipped. When we follow him, when we stay with the purpose, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We're talking about the purpose of the church. We said when a purpose is not known, abuse is always. We gave the analogy of a husband and wife. When a husband don't know the purpose of a wife, abuse is there. When a wife don't know the purpose of her, abuse is there. And when we don't know the purpose of the church, or we leave the purpose of the church, it can't be as effective as God wants it to be. So we got to get back to the purpose. You know? When we look at the churches he dealt with, that's the first thing he dealt with was the churches in Revelation. When he dealt with each one, when they had left the purpose, they wasn't as effective. Somewhere down the line, traditions, all these other things got in there. You know, man tradition, man denomination, and the effectiveness of it. We're not going to have time to go over in Revelation and look at all that. But the church struggled with an identity crisis. They got to know who they are and who built them. And we were built for the enemy. Mm-hmm. He can't prevail against us. God built us, the church, that way, the body, to be very effective. And so we see, as he visited the different churches, you know, he said, you have kind of left your purpose. You left your first one. He told you left your first love. And Mary was bringing into something. People said both ways. They were saying, you know, when he said over in Revelation, you have left your first love. It one somebody described it this way and one somebody described it that way. When they said you have left your first love, I heard one of the pastors saying that we have left knowing how much God loves us. And I'm not going to take from that. You know? But leaving your first love, you're out of his presence. You're not aware of his presence. He's always present. But you're not aware of his presence. Of his love. God so loved the world he gave. And so it's both ways. Us responding to that love. To know how much he loves us. The love of God been shed abroad in our hearts. By the Holy Spirit. But what will you do with it? Will you respond to that love that been shed abroad in your heart? You can. Okay, let me get back. To the purpose of the church. That love is a purpose. But I got to go to Ephesians 3 and 10. I guess you'd say, Sister Mary, the last time you were teaching, you were in Ephesians. Well, that's where the church is now. We're seated with him in a heavenly places. The church I told y'all to go there, but let's finish up in Matthew. I hadn't finished in Matthew, reading Matthew. And after he said, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Now, the reason the gates of hell not going to be able to prevail against it is through the next verse. Let's read that verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now the keys, we see that Peter had the keys on the day of Pentecost because he unlocked some things. He said, this is that. You know, he said, we've been reading this from Joel, but I got the revelation of it now. This is that Joel spoke about. And when he unlocked that and released that, 3,000 came to the Lord. When he saw what this really was. The keys of the kingdom are revelation knowledge, where things are revealed to you. Not just you reading, getting a mental thing of the word, but getting a revelation of it. And see, back here, one of the things that the church is going to, the purpose, and one of the things that the church is going to have to do is do what was done here, have the ability to hear revelation.